Okay, the clock over here says 2 o'clock. So let's make a start. Maybe a few organizational things in the beginning as well. You might have seen on the schedule that we have yoga in the afternoon, gentle yoga by Sharanga, and then also a walk. The weather is not so good, or, well, it's not good, but who knows? I mean, it's raining, so I don't think we are going to be doing yoga outside in the rain. So from, what would that be? What was it, 3 to 4, I think it was, is it? Yes, 3 to 4. Sharanga, with the weather, the yoga will be in here, is that right? The yoga will be in here, is that right?
Or? Walking meditation hall.
Oh, in the back over there.
Yeah.
Okay, so people can still sit in here. It's just going to be a little bit. Yes. Sure. Okay, they will just hear a little bit of your guidance in the background. Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
So it will
okay.
Be starting around
3:15. Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, the hall is just here for people to meditate if you wish. But maybe it might also be a good idea to use your cottage at that time if you want to have a bit of peace and quiet. But with the rain, anyway, you don't hear it so much. It kind of drains out the sound a little bit. Yes. And then afterwards is the walk. Hopefully, for you as well, you're slowly starting to settle and have a bit more stillness and peace arise. And it's something very, very precious that we don't get out in the world so much. So it's really worth protecting that. So even though we have a bit more activity for the people who wish to join in the afternoon, I encourage you, if you do join, to not destroy that stillness that you have built up over the period of time we've been here together. Rather to actually deepen it. So when you're doing the yoga, to keep the stillness inside and to stay with your own body and to stay with your own breath. But what you might notice, what I have noticed when I practiced yoga over in Amaravati Monastery quite a long time ago, when I was still a layperson attending a winter retreat there, is that you start doing the yoga at a very different point because your mind is at a different point. Your mind is in a different state. So very often when we do these yoga postures, there's still so much tension and so much baggage basically from the past there. We're holding on. And with yoga we can loosen these things a little bit, but when we have worked with our minds before, it's amazing how different the body can actually feel and how you can take those movements and being with the breath, with the body work, even deeper. And then going outside, I don't know if the weather is going to be okay by then, or even if it's not, there is some umbrellas out there I saw that you can use. So Bhantachunda and myself actually managed to squeeze in a little walk just after lunch. We got a little bit wet, but we went down to the Japanese garden down this direction. And there is another thing that, I don't know, the walkers might want to have a look at, the secret garden. It's cancelled, is it? Oh, okay. It's cancelled already. Very good. So I don't read the board. So very good. So that is cancelled. All right. So if people want to go out by themselves. But what I just wanted to mention is that you notice the difference when your mind becomes more still and when your mind becomes more peaceful. Even just sitting peacefully and then when you open your eyes, you will realize that the world outside has shifted. Anyway, that's actually how it feels like. So when you go for a walk in nature, you will see that there is so much beauty around that you weren't able to appreciate before. when you eat the food, you will realize that there is so much more taste and so much more pleasure, actually, and enjoyment by having the food. Now, the problem is with our normal daily mind, we usually chase after those things. So we want pleasure. And when we want pleasure, it usually eludes us. Or it usually isn't really satisfying. But we realize when we stop chasing it, when we stop wanting it, then we are practicing the third noble truth of being able to let go of wanting. And then we experience beauty. Then beauty actually comes to us, rather than we chasing after it, trying to grasp it, trying to own it, trying to maintain it, trying to keep it going. And that is a wonderful and beautiful process. And that's the kind of beauty that I was talking about on the first day. One other thing that came to mind, how beauty also could be described, one word that I really like, is harmony. And when I was walking in Newbury, I just came from Newbury Buddhist Monastery recently. It's another nice branch monastery outside of Melbourne, with, you know, forests and quite green up in the mountains. And I was just, you know, quietly, peacefully walking, and I saw a swarm of birds. And they were just, you know, swarming around, and then finally settling on a tree somewhere. And I found that actually quite beautiful. And when I was reflecting why I found it beautiful, I realized that our minds usually are quite linear. Our minds are trying to achieve something. They're trying to get from A to B. Of course, if you want to be efficient, you could have told those birds, you silly birds, just fly from this one tree to the other tree, and it's done in half a minute, and it's much more efficient. But it actually loses its beauty. And when you reflect on how these birds actually move together in a flock, that is what makes it very beautiful as well. It's not one bird who tells all the other birds, okay guys, we're now flying this way, and all the other birds are actually following this one bird. It's more of a listening and adjusting and moving in harmony. Apparently, I was told that those birds have some kind of internal way of keeping the distance between themselves and blending into the process and moving as one big organism, supporting each other and creating something very beautiful in through that. And it also reminded me of what is happening with a group of people like we are here in a retreat together. We're not a flock of birds. We're not the same kind of types of birds. But anyway, we have come all here to practice together. And just from what I've seen so far and the feeling I get from the group is that we also move very nicely in harmony as a group. Because if we start to kind of break off, and that's what happens in nature, if we don't listen to each other, if we don't look out for each other, if we don't adjust to each other, then you kind of get fractions and you get groups. And what happens in nature usually is when one of those beings kind of breaks off the group, it becomes very vulnerable. It becomes, also prone to be caught by some predators or whatever, by some other prey, animals. So I thought that was actually quite a nice picture to reflect upon. And it is actually kind of the same with our bodies. You know, we do usually see our body as one solid thing, but actually it's much more like this swarm of birds. There's so many parts that are moving around in this organism, and they somehow manage to live in harmony with each other. Because if they don't, that's when sickness happens. And that's the same thing in the mind. So if we can find a way to behave like this flock of bird, to just see ourselves as one little part of the body, and to engage in this beautiful dance of going backwards and forwards and just moving beautifully rather than trying to get somewhere. And that's the same with walking meditation. You know, this morning, Pandijunda was introducing walking meditation. And there it's the same thing. You're actually not trying to get anywhere. You aren't walking from A to B and then from B back to A. But you can make the process of just moving with your body, moving with your mind in harmony. And you can create, again, more stillness through that and more beauty through that as well. A few words that came to my mind. One other beautiful simile that Ajahn Brahm often tells is the simile of the visitor. So he is the abbot of a big monastery across the road, which has 31 monks, I hear now, like a lot of people to look after. And if you have this mind of wanting to manage things, wanting to achieve things, then it is very troublesome indeed. Then it is very difficult indeed, and it creates a lot of suffering. So what Ajahn Brahm decided a long, long time ago, I hope he keeps up the tradition still, that when he comes back from town, he's usually teaching over the weekend. So he comes back on Monday, and he says, on Monday is my day off. I'm not the manager. I'm not the abbot of this place. I am the visitor of this place. And he's realized that when he walks around in the monastery in this way, that he is able to appreciate things much, much more. Because when you have a manager's mind, then all you see is the faults. All you see is the jobs that are undone. And that's this beautiful term that he coined, which is the fault-finding mind. And as I was reflecting and wondering if there is anything which is opposite to the fault-finding mind, I realized that it might be something like the beauty-finding mind, the beautifying mind. And that's what we are after. Well, if we chase after it, as I said before, we won't find it. But if we are still, if we are patient, if we are happy, then that beauty will actually come and find us. Okay. One other thing that I wanted to share is some more words about the Brahma Viharas that I introduced yesterday in the evening, and also chanted a little bit more of this morning. And I don't know if that is something you took up as a practice for yourself. When the mind, for example, is a bit too busy or a bit too restless, and it doesn't just latch on to stillness by itself, to have something else to be able to settle it on, to that mantra that I introduced, of just wishing yourself, your body, your mind well, and wishing that all beings may be healthy and well and happy as well. And what happened for me during that retreat that I did many, many years ago that I couldn't actually share with you yesterday because it was just the first day and probably quite a few from you of you were already tired. When I was able to fall back onto this mantra, not just the mantra, but also the feeling mainly that it created, it was there like in the background. And one of the beautiful things that happened to me, and that does happen with stillness as well, or with all these beautiful qualities that we establish and strengthen in the mind, is that it is there for you. So I went to bed that night, still, you know, thinking, creating, or creating is maybe the wrong word, cultivating and growing that beautiful quality or those beautiful qualities in my heart. And I went to sleep with those thoughts and those wishes. And back then, very often, I would have one hand on my heart and one hand on my belly. And people tell me that I'm a very quiet sleeper and also a very, someone who sleeps without moving too much. So I did awaken at night. But what was beautiful and what was very nice is that I would awake back into that mantra, back into those feelings that I have created and cultivated during the day. So I would kind of surface out of sleep, awaken, and have those feelings and those sentences naturally kind of arise. And then I would just drift off back into sleep again. And then same thing in the morning, waking up, but not waking up into this energy of, my goodness, what is waiting for me during this day, or you know, thinking already what I have to organize. But again, these thoughts of loving kindness, these thoughts of compassion, I really like the word care, were kind of there for me. And with whatever we are cultivating in this way, one thing is the Brahma-viharas, the pure states of the mind, which is free of defilements, but also just the stillness and the peace. If you cultivate it, if you keep falling back onto it, then that is actually something you will take into your sleep as well. That is something that will be there for you when you wake up at night and go asleep again, and then also when you wake up in the morning again. So I hope that is something that might happen for some of you as well in this weekend retreat that we have together, but also that it is something you can take with you into your life after the retreat, into your day-to-day life. Because I realize that one of the things that very often happens to people is that they don't sleep very well, that it is very difficult for them to fall asleep, that they do awake or that they wake up at night and that they have this thing called insomnia. And when you wake up and you don't want to be awake and you kind of get an activation in your mind, you get a resistance in your mind, then that is actually what will keep you awake for even longer. So even this morning I also woke up earlier than I expected, but I just laid in bed for a little bit longer and cultivated peacefulness, kindness, and those Brahma-viharas. So I encourage you to do that as well. But okay, now is not really time for sleeping. Now is time for another meditation together. Unless Bhante Chunda would like to share or add something to what I've said.
So it does take some time to let go of the past, and also not to expect too much from the future. So I mean, as a practitioner, there is a lot of responsibility. So I remember when I was quite young, in my early 20s, I used to work two jobs, and I was quite busy. My mind was quite busy too, so a bit of a scattered mind. But I reflected when I first learned how to meditate and still my mind, and there was a lot of peace and joy because learning how to let go felt like unburdening myself. So it's like a person carrying three big bags. So you carry one suitcase, that's a past, and you carry another suitcase, that's a future. Then plus you got to carry a backpack, that's the present moment of work, responsibility, commitment, family. So when you're carrying all these three together, is very heavy and overwhelming mentally and also for the body. You get mentally and also physically very tired. And once I started doing meditation when I was younger, listening to Ajahn Brahm's talk, do a lot of meditation up in the minds. Once the mind become free from the chatter and the endless thinking of the monkey mind, then you feel that peace of that freedom from thinking, past and future and present, then you feel at ease. And how I can describe it, it's like being a child again. As a child, I was completely free and happy. Not a care, a burden in the world. So when I was working up in the mines, spent a lot of time by myself, just watching my mind and learning learning how to calm my mind down. So I'm just being aware all the time and it become very peaceful and silent. So once I found that inner happiness and peace, then I realized joy and happiness and freedom was always in here, in your heart, your feeling, and in your thoughts, what you think, heart and feeling. So the heart is the emotional part, and the thinking is the intellectual. So if you can manage both together, then wisdom will arise. So wisdom is understanding the harm and the danger of carrying things too heavily in our heart. So we have this great opportunity now to really unburden ourselves. Just for these few days, unburden ourselves from our responsibility. So we feel like as free as a child. So that's a benefit I got from meditation. So I hope everyone can experience that benefit too. Because once you free yourself from the burden of life, then you feel like as free as a child, not a care in the world. Yeah. Oh, that's the only thing I can add. Thank you.
Great, thank you. So let's find a comfortable posture again to do a bit more meditation together. And as last time, it will be a guidance into meditation. So I'll do a little bit of talking in the beginning to get you started. And then afterwards, we just let you carry on with your own meditation. One of the important things is also to know that these guided meditations, they're always just suggestions. And you can try them out, try them on, and see if they are working for you. If you have something already established that works for you, please find your own words or, adjust those things that we are offering that they really work for your own mind. But I'll be sharing one of the meditations that I find quite helpful for myself to relax and to not get involved. So once we have closed our eyes, we can start to get in touch with our bodies. To see how they are doing. To see how the body feels. And my mind works quite easily with pictures when I am imagining things. And that imagination really helps me in meditation. And one of the things I really like to imagine every now and then is that the body is like a puppet. Like one of those puppets that has a rod in the back and has many strings attached to that rod and the handle at the top. And with those strings, you can move the hands and the legs of that puppet. And what usually happens in life is that we are the puppeteer. We are the person pulling all those strings, making the body move. But in meditation, we move in a different direction. Meditation is not a hands-on practice, but it's a hands-off practice. Hands-off and heart-on. So I usually start with a string which is attached to the head, to the top of the head. And because the puppeteer is quiet in meditation, the puppeteer is on holiday, the head and the whole spine are just dangling on that one string which is attached to the crown of your head. And you can just allow the body of this puppet to hang loose. As it is hanging loose, it actually very gently and nicely stretches your back. But it's not a forced stretch. It's the natural way of how this body, this puppet body, falls on that string. And imagine and feel the relaxation that comes from that picture. Spreading over your whole head. And extending into your neck, and also into your shoulders. Strings that usually push and pull this area of your body around, they're all loose. And as they are loose, your shoulders are really loose as well. Loose, relaxed, and still. And then allow this energy of relaxation to spread along your spine. Which is basically just dangling on that one string. Or on that rod which is attached to the puppet. Really feel how every vertebra can deeply relax. Loosen and be at ease. And that way you can slowly make your way down your spine. Till you get to your lower back. And past your lower back all the way down to the hips. Which are the last part of that line just allowing it to hang loose. And then hopefully this whole axis from your head all the way down along the spine to the hips is just being left alone. Not pushed, not pulled. And then we can do the same thing with our arms and with our hands. Maybe we want to take the strings which are attached on this puppet to the arms and the hands. Just wiggle them a little bit to see if the hands can get in a comfortable position. In a position where we can just let go of these strings completely. So that the arms can just dangle as an extension of your torso and your shoulders. Extending from the shoulders all the way down to the hands. Maybe also here you can feel a slight comfortable stretch. When you just leave your arms and hands alone. No pushing, no pulling whatsoever. Sometimes the interference with those parts of our bodies is very, very subtle. See if we can take all the tensions out of the strings attached to your arms and to your hands. And then let's do the same with our legs and with our feet. If you're sitting on a chair, that might be a bit easier to feel and imagine. But it also works when you're sitting cross-legged on the floor. Same thing here. Allow those strings in the beginning to wiggle a little bit, to move a little bit, and to find a spot for them where they can be deeply let go. left to their own devices. Trusting that the floor will support them. And then also moving from the top of the legs down all the way over the knees to the feet. And here also feeling that comfortable, nice stretch that happens when the strings which are attached are let go of. No control. Only care. And if you were able to imagine this and really get into this, you can use the same way of approaching for other areas of your body. Like your face. Our involvement, our wanting it this way or that way, is like tiny little strings which are attached to all the different muscles in our face. Can we let them go? Can we loosen them? So that all the areas in your face, the forehead, the eyes, the nose, the cheeks, and the jaw, can just hang loose. Deeply rest and relax. And then all the muscles around your chest especially the ones that move when you are breathing all around in the front and in the back. Not interfering. Not pulling any strings. giving up control. And allowing the body to take over. Allowing the natural movement of the breathing to take over. Standing back, watching, caring, but not getting involved. Trusting surrendering. And then the same thing to all the other organs that you will find lower down in your belly and around the area of your hips, the digestive tract, the stomach, the bowels. Kidneys, the liver, so many organs that are doing their work. But you would be surprised how much we get into their way, how much we tell them what they should do, how much tension we create that they have to work against. Imagine that all those strings that are pulled and pushed by the puppeteer are loosened and let go of. The body knows how to look after itself. The body knows how to relax. The body knows how to heal. If we only let it. And then also allowing all the muscles and all the sinews in your legs, to relax even deeper. Also here, deeply trusting them. That they know how to relax. That they know how to recuperate. That they know how to heal. And then also the muscles in your hands, in your arms. Same principle here. Learning to trust. Learning to care. Learning not to get carried away and involved. The muscles in your arms and in your hands know how to relax. They know how to be at peace. They know how to heal. I'll let you meditate by yourself. If this is something that has worked for you, you can bring the same imagery with you into your mental world, making sure that the puppeteer is not pulling the strings of all the thoughts, of all the emotions, of all the movement in the mind, but just allowing it to be, allowing it to come, allowing it to go, allowing it to dissipate, allowing it to relax, allowing it to become still. And then if the breath does arise, same attitude here, not interfering, not pushing or pulling, but allowing the breath to flow naturally, in and out, in and out. At its own pace, in its own rhythm. Enjoy the rest of your meditation.